greatness of his love. And I'm just glad today that we can be able to tell the world that Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and he changes not. The more I've heard people share this morning, the more I understand why God dealt with my heart concerning the message for this morning.
Praise God.
Because I kept saying, but Lord, you know, this is Sunday morning and all of the people that are there will be Christians. God continued to deal with my heart. I believe that what God has laid on my heart is not only for the sinner, not only for the backslider, but is for God's people who are going through all kinds of tests. Because if we are not careful, we will forget to check out the value before we sell out.
Amen.
If I want to share anything with you today, I want to share with you this thought. Check out the value before you sell out. Check out the bag before you sell out. Because we are living in a day and a time where a lot of so-called Christians are very flippant about their experience. It is something that they do not treasure. As long as they can worship and praise God and have a wonderful time in the Lord, everything's okay, and they stay faithful in that time. But when the test comes, when the trial comes, so that there will be an overcoming, and there is nothing promised to anybody except to the overcomer. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my kingdom. This is God's word.
Amen.
No test, no trial, no overcoming. But to them that overcome, to them that do not sell out, to them that are faithful and true and saved, irregardless to what happens, irregardless to what the enemy throws at me, I am going to check out the value before I sell out. I know of no scripture better equipped to share what I have on my mind this morning than in Genesis, the 25th chapter, starting with verse 27 through 34. Genesis chapter 25, verses 27 through 34. And the boys grew, and Esau was a cunning hunter, a man of the field, and Jacob was a plain man dwelling in tents. And Isaac loved Esau because he did eat of his venison. But Rebekah loved Jacob. And Jacob sought pottage, and Esau came from the field, and he was faint. And Esau said to Jacob, feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage, for I am faint. Therefore was his name called Edom. And Jacob said, sell me this day thy birthright. And Esau said, behold, I am at the point to die. And what profit shall this birthright do to me? And Jacob said, swear to me this day. And he sware unto him, and he sold his birthright unto Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of littles. And he did eat and drink, and rose up and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. Father, I thank you for your love and your mercy. I thank you for the precious blood of the cross of Calvary. I thank you for the opportunity that we have this day to share your word. And I pray that even now, that the officers of the Holy Spirit will begin to arrest hearts and lives, yes, and bring us to that place that you would have us to be. Yes. Lord, I pray that somehow that this message today shall grip our hearts and grip our minds and grip our souls in a way that the word of God has never gripped us before, that we might understand that indeed we are living in the last days. And God, what we're going to do must be done now. And Lord, that we must realize and know that it isn't a time to be flippant. It isn't a time to be calloused. It isn't a time, Lord, for us to sit and just be happy in what we're doing. But Lord, that we need to turn our attentions unto the lost and dying of our day. And Lord, that we need to sell out completely and totally to you, Lord, so that we will not be in the place to sell out for the things of this world. Lord, I ask you to help your handmaiden this morning as I challenge the hearts of this thy people. And we'll worship you and praise you and thank you for it. For we ask it in the mighty name of Christ of Calvary. Amen and amen. And I do pray that this morning that God will help me through the anointing of the Holy Spirit to touch your hearts and your life. If there's ever been a thing in 1982 that is ravaging the spiritual world, it is exactly what our sister was talking about. It's a spirit of jealousy. It's a spirit of competition. But it is not new in this day and time that we are living in. Or even in the days of Esau and Jacob, there was the competition.
Amen.
There was the jealousy. I have got to compete. We compete with no one. If we are born again Christians, we know who we are, and we don't have to come up to anybody's standards.
Amen.
There is and should not be any jealousy and competition in the things of God. For what we are and who we are and what we can be, it's not of our own making, but it is the making of the Spirit and the power of an Almighty God. Esau had the birthright. It was rightfully his, but he was so flippant about this thing. All he could think about was the hunger that was going on the inside of him. The ravenous appetite that said, I must be fed. And it does not stop with F-O-O-D.
That's right.
It can be sex.
Amen. That's right.
Sure is quiet in here this morning. I've been here before and I know this group.
Yeah.
It can be sex. It can be jealousy. Uh-huh. It can be competition. Whatever that thing is that is driving you away from the very power and presence of God can be an unhealthy and an unholy appetite in your life.
Amen.
There was the game between Esau and Jacob. Because Esau's father loved him more than he did Jacob, and the mother loved Jacob more than he cheated Esau, and there was a constant struggle. The competition, the spirit of competition. I've got to play for your affections. I must do this. I must perform for you if I'm to have your attention and your love. If it ever gets to the place that we have to perform for someone to have their love, we're in bad shape. The first thing I tell kids when they come in the doors of third base is, I don't love you because of what you do. I don't love you because you are good or because you are bad. I love you because you are you.
Amen.
That way there's no games. You don't have to perform. My love is unconditional. And so it's the love of God.
Yes.
God's love is unconditional. He does not give to you his love for what you do or how you act. He gives it to you because he loves you as a person and as an individual.
Amen.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
He loved you in your sin.
Yes.
When you were nothing but garbage, he loved you and I, and he sent his son to die on the cross of Calvary. Esau was one of those men that was impetuous. Everything has be done right now, and it should have been done yesterday, and if it wasn't done yesterday, and I can't have it now, I won't have it at all. But I want you to know that God's kingdom does not stand on what you want at this moment. It's what is good for you.
That's right.
That God is going to do.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
Check out the value before you begin to sell out. Everywhere I go, I see this casual, flippant manner in which people serve God, or so-called serve God. If it meets my criteria, if it doesn't bother my schedule, if it doesn't mess with my intellect, if it doesn't deal with the heartstrings of my heart, and it doesn't get involved in the lifestyle that I have, I'll serve you, God. But if it does, then it's just too bad. God needs and wants a people that will say, God, I give you my life,
yes,
and I will surrender mentally, physically, and spiritually to you,
yes,
that your will be accomplished in my heart and in my life.
Yes.
The world that we are living in today is searching for something to satisfy the inner man, and it will come when competition stops. Oh, but Sister Betty, if I'm going to get the love of my mom and my dad more than my brother or more than my sister, then I must compete. Then that is a love you do not need, because real love is unconditional.
Yes.
And you don't have to compete
Hallelujah.
For it.
That's right. That's right. Hallelujah.
Oh, Sister Betty, don't you want to be like somebody, so-and-so or so-and-so and so-and-so? No, I don't. I want to be me, Betty Valette, and I want to love and serve God for no other reason than because he laid his hand upon my life and said, Betty, I call you the weak, the frail thing that you are. I call you to share my love, to share my word, to share my presence with those that come into your midst. And one thing we need to do is to start getting rid of these things that are going to draw us away from the power of God.
Hallelujah. Praise God.
We are living in the last days. And I think we better realize it. And I think we better know that unless we get our act together, if I can use the terminology of the street, we are going to be left sitting in these pews that we're supposed to be serving God on. Get rid of the facade. Start being for real.
Amen. Yes.
Sister Betty, I don't like this kind of preaching. I don't care. The devil don't either, so you got to play.
Right. Amen. Hallelujah.
Check out the value before you sell out. What are you selling out the preciousness of the Holy Spirit for? What are you selling out for? Is it a carefree moment that you have some sort of pleasure? Is it so that you can be accepted with the crowd that you run with? Then get rid of them and run as fast as you can and make that decision and say, God, I'm going to live for you. Come hell or high water, 29 years ago, I knelt at an old-fashioned altar and I promised God, God, if no one else ever served you, I'll live for you and I'll serve you if no one else does. And friend, I want you to know that through the power, through the blood, and whatever has come my way, I have stood faithful and I've stood true to the Lord Jesus Christ. I intend to make it. I'm not going to sell out what God has given me for a few carefree moments in this world.
Hallelujah.
Check out the value before you begin to sell out. People have been known to sell out for a kiss. Or an embrace. Doesn't necessarily have to be the pottage that Esau fed his belly with. Within an hour, he was hungry again.
That's right.
There is nothing that this world offers you, friend, that will satisfy the soul, the mind, and the body, life serving and living for the Lord Jesus Christ. He will share with you a thousand and one things that you want and you crave and you feel you must have. But he'll laugh at you and make fun of you. And like he stole all, friend, you may step over that line unseen by the eyes of God, and you may not have a way back to where God once allowed you to be. My Bible tells me that though we saw salt at the presence of God with tears, he never found a way to get his inheritance back. What are you selling out for? Well, Sister Betty, if I don't pray hard, then I don't have a lot of tests and trials. What are you, a mamby-pamby? Petty waste?
Amen.
God doesn't need a bunch of sissies.
Amen.
He needs some men and women who have got some old-fashioned, if you'll pardon my blunt, uncouth way of putting it, that's got some guts.
Amen.
Glory. Hallelujah.
It's got some old-fashioned guts.
Hallelujah.
No, I know I'm not Brother Stewart. I don't want to be. He challenges my soul every time I listen to him, whether it's from a pulpit or sitting across from a table where we're just sharing the word of God. He touches my life. I am not him, and I don't want to be. I am me, and you're just going to have to accept me for that. But we need some people that's got some old-fashioned guts and got guts enough to say, God, I'm going to pay the price. I'm not selling out to these frivolous things of the world, but God, I choose.
Yes, I choose.
I choose to commit. I choose to commit. I choose to commit. I choose to commit my mind, my body, and my soul to your will and to your discretion as to what my life should be and how it should be. I commit it. I commit it to you, Lord. I'm not selling out for the things of this world. Some sell out for music. You may not like what I'm going to say, but I'm going to say it anyhow. I'm sick and tired of people talking about you have to have Christian acid rock to win people. God never used anything of the devil to win people to his kingdom.
Right.
People don't hear the Lord anyhow. It's the beat. Music is a mood setter.
Yeah, that's right.
It can lift you up. Or it can make you so messed up that you will go out into the streets and do things that you would have never done before.
That's right.
It plays with this. And this is where the devil gets us. This is where we sell out at first. Long before we sell out in our hearts, we sell out in our minds. And then from our minds, it goes to our hearts. And from our hearts, the deeds are done. Mr. Bennett, I don't like you. I don't care. Devil don't either. I'm sharing with you my heart as I struggled throughout this morning, and I began to say, God, I want a message. I don't want a sermon nor a sermonette, but I want a message that will strike the hearts of your people and somehow lift them up and let them know that they need to check out the values before they begin to sell out. Check out the values before you let the devil destroy your homes. Check out the value before you begin to let your children go astray and do anything they want to do. A child that is left to itself, my Bible tells me, will wind up being ashamed to his parents, but to those that love their children and discipline them. Oh, Sister Betty, you mean slap them up against the wall and beat them? No, I don't. There's a way to discipline children, and God, thank you and I, when we get out of line, if we'll be tender toward them. Uh-oh. Oh, Lord, you ain't gonna bless me. I'm just not going to let you now. I'm just going to be mad. I don't care what you say. Larry's one of my kids, and he and I were talking about this last night. How many know what I'm talking about? You just see those people that say, now, Lord, I'm just going to be mad. I don't care if you want to bless me. And God will say, come on now, let me bless you. No, Lord, I didn't get my way, so I'm just going to do my thing. I'm doing some heavy preaching, whether you know it or not. Yeah. Oh, Sister Betty, are you going to be braggadocious too? No, I'm just telling the truth. God wants us to dedicate, to no matter what the enemy has to offer us, that we check out the value before we begin to sell out.
Right.
Is it worth you losing your soul over?
No.
Sister Betty, I'm doing like that guy said. I'm just serving God as an escape hatch. Well, honey, you better get your priorities right, and you better begin to change the reason why you're living and serving God. You don't serve God, you escape hell. You serve Him because you love Him. There were no heaven. There were no hell. I would serve God for the peace of mind and soul that I have in loving and worshiping and walking with Him. How, Sister Betty, can we not sell out? And how can we think before we do? You can stay close to God. And when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against him.
Amen.
The reason there are no standards that are raised up is because we do not stay close to God.
Right.
Mammy Penny. Ooh, Lord, all I want is a blessing. That's all you got. You haven't got very much.
Right.
And you need a new dip, and I'm not talking about a dip of Levi Garrett either.
Amen.
If all you've got is the blessing, then you need to get down on your bony knees and begin to cry out, God, make me an instrument that you can use in these closing days of time, that regardless of the test, I'll stand faithful, I'll stand true, and nobody can point a finger and say you live one thing in church and something else.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Amen.
This is
Amen.
Why
we're
not winning.
That's right.
Because we got too many people in the church world that's selling out. And they sit there dry-faced and dry-eyed without their soul being broken up by the Spirit of God. The power ground of their hearts cannot be broken up, and the seed cannot be sown, because they are determined, I'm going to do my thing if it must sail wide open. And that's exactly what they're going to do. If nobody ever knows where you're coming from, God does. He sees the secret thought, the intent, the heart.
Yes.
You can fool everybody else, but you don't fool God.
Amen.
That's right.
Now, I didn't figure I'd get too many amens or too much scotching today. Folks, I want you to know something. This man, though he had everything going for him, though everything that was around him was great, and it seemed like that he had everything to live for, even though he was a great hunter, and though he pleased the very heart of his God or his father, he was an impulsive man, and everything he did was done on the spur of the moment. He didn't think. You've got a lot of people like that today. They don't think. That's right, honey. It's his moment. Nothing else matters. Oh, Sister Betty, had there ever been a day whenever you wanted to turn away from God? No, sir. one time in my life that I wanted to take my life since I've been a Christian, and it was not for me. It was so that others who love me would not be hurt. But there's never been a day in the 29 years that I've loved and served God that I ever wanted to go back, because there was nothing to go back to.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise God.
God didn't satisfy the desires of my soul. He did not give me peace of mind. Alcohol never took care of the need that I had. Sex never took care of it. Oh, I want to tell you something that did. And that was the touch of the Master's hand.
Hallelujah.
He laid his hand upon me. And I felt the warmth of his spirit go from the crown of my head to the soles of my feet. That satisfied.
Yes.
That brought peace.
Yeah.
Brought a cleansing. Brought the healing that you were talking about. The tide comes. Don't have to be in competition with anybody. Be glad if God blesses somebody else more.
Yes.
You think he's blessed. Make me so. I want you to know I can preach God's word under the anointing of the Holy Spirit that will touch lives and bring them to a place in God. And that's what God's called me to do. And so I don't need to sit and wish I could play like Carla. No, I do. When I get to heaven, the Lord's going to let me play in the court. And that's what I've always wanted to play.
Praise the Lord.
He's going to give me a voice. The angels are going to fold their wings, and they're not going to be like my kids. Oh, Mom, please, how'd she just throw us all out? Chop, I could really get bent out of shape about that if I was the one to let myself. I could sell out for just that very thing. Because they do, they constantly tell me. We're riding down the down the road in the van, and the girls are practicing for the next meeting that we're going to, and I forget, you know, and I begin to sing along with them, and here's this old croaky deep voice, you know, that sings an octave below anything that they're singing or playing, and they'll go, oh, Mom, you just throw us off. And when we're singing in the church, we keep here listening for this little off voice. And you just really mess with us. So if you don't mind, would you just hush? I'm talking about selling out, honey. And I could get so bent out of shape over that one thing.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
That I could sell out everything I have in the things of God. Oh, Sister Betty, you mean you're not just talking about food and sex and drugs and alcohol and all these other things? No, I'm not. Because it's the little foxes that spoil the vine. They eat away at the root and they begin to destroy until suddenly, like Samson of old, we wake up and wish not that the Spirit of God has departed from us until it's too late. Impulsiveness. Right now. Gotta have it today. Get them out next week.
Yeah.
I want it now. That's what was wrong with the prodigal son. He said, oh man, I don't want to wait till you're dead and gone and they read the will and begin to give me my portion. I want it now. This is the problem with the world. This is the problem with 1982. Everybody wants it now. I want your attention now. And if I can't have it, then I won't have it whenever you can give it to me. You'll let me suck the very life out of you. I'll make it. No, they won't. I felt that and kicked back, but folks, it's the truth. You cannot carry somebody else into the kingdom of God. That's why God made it a free will agent.
Yes.
That's why we're not puppets, so that we can choose. Nobody can choose for you except you.
Yes. Yes.
Betty Vallette cannot choose for you. If I could, there wouldn't be a person that would die and go to hell. But Sister Stewart, the privilege is not mine. The privilege lies between your two elbows.
That's right.
Amen. Amen.
You have to make the choice. Jacob was a pretty shrewd dude, you know. He knew what he wanted. He knew that his brother was an impetuous person, and that although he was hungry, he didn't say when the last time he was he ate. He could have ate 2 or 3 hours before, or it could have been a week before. But he said what was a different selling out. Esau sold out for food. The prodigal son sold out because of his desire. Samson sold out. All of them sold out for different things. Some for sex, some for food, some for desire, some for the wealth of this world. But they all sold out. And from the testimonies I've heard this morning, some of you are on the verge. Come on, you might as well say amen, because amen. I'm going to share it anyhow.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
If you're not careful, some of you are on the verge of making the wrong decision, making the wrong choice. And if you do, you may sell out for something that you'll find is nothing in your hands.
Amen.
That's
right.
Check out. Check out the bag before you sell. Check it out. See how long it's going to last before you sell out the most precious thing in the world, and that is your experience with God.
Yeah, right.
Check out the value with bitterness.
Uh-huh.
With resentment.
Yeah.
Check out the lie. What are you selling out for? The right to be bitter? I deserve to be bitter! So and so did such and such and such and such. You do not deserve to be bitter if you want to escape the wrath and the damnation of the next world. If anybody ever deserved to be bitter, Joseph did. But he chose.
Yes.
What did he tell Potiphar's wife? I cannot do this great thing and sin against my God. I can't sell out cheaply, lady. Having an affair with you is not worth the price that I'd have to pay. It's not worth it. It's not worth it. To the prisoners, it wasn't worth him being bitter over, because he was falsely accused. But he chose to let the Spirit of God flow through him. And he had a spirit of forgiveness to his brothers who sold
him.
Yes.
Yes.
Check out the bag before you sell out. Was dominated by his ferocious appetite. He could not live without it, and he could not go another step. I'm going to paint, he told his brother, if I don't get something to eat. And his brother said, okay, then give me of this red pottage, and I'll give you my silly birthrights. For what does the birthright do to me if I die? You die without that birthright, I'll tell you what it'll do. It'll cause you to be lost and undone without God and His Son, and spend an eternity in hell.
Uh-huh. That's right.
Never to feel the presence of God in your life. Check out the back. Before your impetuousness,
your dominating spirit, regardless of whether it's for food or sex or for the money of this world or whether it's for the pleasures of this world or just to do your own thing. Check out the battery. Before you start doing some of these things to get back at somebody because of something they've done to you, you better check out the value and see what you're going to lose. My daddy wasn't a Christian at the time he told me this, but my daddy used to tell me, Betty, you can never hurt anybody else. You can never destroy anybody else without hurting and destroying yourself. I'll get back with you if it takes me 100 years. And in the meantime, you may just lose your soul. Uh-huh. Check out the back. Check out the back. Before you sign. He was a man that made a bad bargain. He sold out. Put it in a language that you and I understand for a bowl of chili and dill pickle and a Pepsi and a bag of Fritos.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Sure. That's funny. No, it's not. Because that's just about what he sold his soul for.
That's right.
And though he sought the presence of God with bitter tears, my Bible tells me that he found no place of repentance. And that's not funny. That he sold that for a little bowl of chili and a dill pickle and a Pepsi and a package of Frito Lay. Some of us are trying to just as cheaply, though nobody knows what's going on in our heads, nor with our bodies, nor with our spirits. God knows. And folks, let me tell you something. It's a terrible thing to sell out the most priceless treasure that anybody can have. That's the power and the presence of God ruling in your heart and your life for the filthy things of this world. They're not going to last. They're not going to last! They're not going to last! And when you stand before God, and you say, God, I sat in church every Sunday morning. I did this and I did that and I did the other. Unless everything is together in here. And unless you have made a commitment to the Lord that severs everything else except His perfect will for your life, you're going to be in big trouble. So I say to you again this morning, check out the values before you begin to sell out. The quickest and best way to get things done in your life is when God deals with you. Do it then.
Amen.
Do it then. Don't wait tomorrow. Don't wait till next week. Don't wait till next month. Because if you do, the devil will give you a million excuses why you shouldn't do it.
Uh-huh.
Don't give the devil time to plant the seed of doubt.
Yes.
Do it when God says it.
Yes.
When God deals with your heart. Oh, Sister Betty, can you do things like that? Can you forgive people? Oh, yes, I have. The people that caused me not to be a teen challenge anymore, though it was nothing to do with me, I have forgiven them and I work with them. They're constantly coming over to third phase and saying, Mom, we need so-and-so. What do we do? I don't say, well, you fucking kid, get back over the other. I don't want to have anything to do with you. Because I say, I don't know. What do you need? We'll try to work it out.
Hallelujah.
Ruth can tell you, and the kids can tell you that this past week we were sitting in our dining room having some visitors over, and one of the ministers that was on the board over there, and this kid come popping in. He said, Mom, Ruth, I need you across the street. I blew my mind, because here this guy was sitting there, you know, the board member, and I'm not supposed to, you know, I'm supposed to be long gone from over there, but when they've got a need, they know I'm not going to say, because of how I was treated, I'm not going to help you, but they know that I will do anything that I can, because I'm not in this thing for what people think of me. I am denied, no,
God.
Hallelujah.
See the kingdom of God of heaven and the power and the presence of this enemy to be pulled down.
Yes, hallelujah.
What God has called us to do.
Thank you, Lord.
Pull the strongholds of the enemy down and to check out the values before we sell out.
Thank you.
I don't know what you're selling out for. It could be a spirit of bitterness.
Uh-huh.
It could be a spirit of rebellion, either against people or against God. Sister Betty, Mom, preach, whatever you want to call me, I don't care, crazy old lady, you know, whatever. God's been dealing with me about prayer.
Hallelujah.
But I'm afraid to pray because I'm afraid of what God will ask me to do. I'm afraid, Sister Betty, to dedicate my talents to God because I'm afraid of what He'll ask me to do. He asked you to crawl on your hands and knees from here to China. It would be a small price. Check out the guy. Check out the guy. Make sure your kids know that you love them because of themselves, not because you want to use and get them or her as your own little special food to get your way. Because if you do, the family will wind up being broke up. I may know what I'm talking about.
Well, Mom, you've just been giving so-and-so too much of your time, and I'm going to throw a little tantrum so as I can get your attention.
First thing you need to let them know is you don't have to throw a tantrum to get my attention. I love you enough. You don't have to have a crisis for us to talk.
Amen.
That's right. Because if people get crisis oriented, then that's the only time I need this man. Let there be an opening where you can get together before the crisis.
Yes.
Because if you wait till the crisis, you've got a problem. You deal with that thing before it becomes a crisis.
Amen.
There's a communication that says, hey, I need to talk to you. Tell you something else. Don't sell your kids out because you're promising that you're going to spank them if you don't.
Uh-huh. Amen.
Now, if you're mad, I suggest you wait till you cool off.
Amen.
Do it right.
Yes.
I know I use Brian Edmund a lot, but he's mine. If I ever would have had a grandkid, he's mine. He's not a biological grandkid, but he's mine as much, or if not more, than he had. At the age of 10 months, I let him know that what I said was law.
Amen. Uh-huh. Yes.
You mean Sister Betty had no trust of his own? No, I didn't say that. But when I said something, that's the way it was going to be. If I told him we were going to do something together, I did.
Amen.
If I told him I was going to spank him if he went against what I told him to do, I did that too. I want to share your friends. He said, Sister Betty, you're supposed to be preaching on taking out the bag before you sell out. It's still right over my subject. Because kids are and become what we tell them.
Sure.
We tell them they'll never amount to a hill of beans, they will ever try to be anything. If you lie to kids, they will have a distrust, not only for you, but for the world in which they live. And when you are serious, they won't even understand it enough to do anything about it. They'll think it's still the game. You don't mean it, Dad. At the age of 10 months, Brian Edmund decided he wanted to eat and feed himself. Okay, Brian, but you're not throwing the food on the floor because cleaning food up off the floor is not funny to me.
And I've seen a lot of people just laugh and think it's really great to see kids throw food on the floor and slop it around all over people, too.
Uh-huh.
I mean, know where I'm coming from.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think it's funny. I think if a kid's going to eat, then they ought to at least get it somewhere close to their mouth. Not on the floor and not on other people. So I said, okay, if you're going to feed yourself, you're not going to put it on the floor. You're not dropping what you don't like on the floor. You're going to eat whatever's on your plate.
Yeah.
And he's got the most gorgeous eyes, blonde-headed, brown eyes, you know, and he's got those talking eyes.
Uh-huh.
He had something on his plate he didn't like, so he caught my eyes and began to flirt with me with his while he dropped on the floor.
Yeah.
And I said, young man, at 10 months old, if you have got enough conning in you to catch my eyes while you did what I told you not to do, you have got enough understanding to know what a good old-fashioned woodshed revival is.
Woo!
Glory!
So that I knew he knew where I was coming from, I said, Brian, if you do that again, now you take Granny's word for it, and I will spank you. He caught my eyes and the rest of what he didn't like, he dumped on the floor. And I grabbed him out of that high chair and I just warmed his little bottom up. Needless to say, nobody else eats anything the rest of that meal. But Brian learned that I loved him enough to correct him.
Uh-huh. Amen. Yes.
When his mom and dad went on a second sort of honeymoon, he wanted to stay with me instead of going with some of his cousins. And I said, but Brian, Granny's got an all-day meeting Sunday, and if you stay with me, you'll have to go with me. And he said, oh, but Granny, I will. I'll sit on the front row, and I won't let anybody give me candy, and I won't chew any gum because Granny don't believe in chewing gum in God's house. People that you've done in God's house look like a cow chewing a cud. One of the worst things I have ever seen is somebody trying to sing with a mouthful of gum. Or trying to take a service over with gum.
Uh-huh.
So I taught my kids that God's house is not a place to eat, and it's not a chewing place. That you're supposed to sit on the front rows, not the back rows. The back rows are safe for backsliders and sinners. You really want to hear God's word? Get up where you can hear, where you don't see anybody that's flipping through in song books because of conviction or showing pictures or writing notes. Yeah, I used to be a teenager. I know what goes on those back rows. I said, you'll have to stay with Granny, and you know, if you're bad, Granny will spank you. He said, oh, but Granny, I really do want to go. And that morning, he did beautiful. He sat up there. He was the cutest little old man you have ever seen. But that night, this little old insistent lady behind him just kept on, and he kept saying, but my granny won't let me chew gum in church. But my granny won't let me chew candy in church. And she just kept giving it to him and kept unwrapping it. And finally, to get her off of him, he took it and chewed it. And whenever service was over with, the minute it was over with, before I ever went to the altar to pray with anybody, he came and grabbed me by the hand. He says, Granny, I'm in trouble, aren't I? And I said, yes, you are. And that lady looked at him and said, well, why? He was a little dog. I said, because you insisted that he eat candy when I told him he shouldn't. And I told him that if he did, I would say it. And my word is the only thing I have got. And if he cannot trust what I tell him, he will grow up not to believe in the word of God because he'll think that I'm lying about that.
Right. Right.
So we need to check out the back. But the kids throw a little bit, and so that we don't have to hassle with it, we let them have their way, but is it good for them? We're teaching them to sell out for the moment. When we got home, his mom and dad was there to pick him up, and His daddy started to pick him up and hug him. He said, "Sorry, Dad. Me and Granny's got to go upstairs a minute." We went upstairs. I said, "Brian, do you know why Granny's doing this?" "Yes, ma'am." I said, "Okay, tell me why." He says, "Because she wants me to respect our taxes, first of all. Second, you don't want people to say, 'There comes that Brian Edmund. I was just supposed to just leave him at home and never bring him with him.'"
Yeah.
I said, "Yes, that's right." I said, "Is there any other reason?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "What?" He says, "'Cause she loves you, Granny."
Amen.
"And you want to see her grow up, right?"
"Yeah."
I said, "That's right, darling. The hardest thing I ever did was to turn him over my knees and blister his little body. But when he was over with, I let him cry out. I'm talking about checking out for bags. And it isn't just selling out for food. It isn't just selling out for alcohol. It isn't just selling out for drugs or the pleasures of a woman or sex or some of these other big things that I'm talking about. It can be selling out the souls of our kids because we don't keep our word. If they can't believe what you say, they're not going to believe what you tell them about God." Before we went out, when he quit crying, he says, "Granny, are we still friends?" And I said, "Yes, Pumpkin, we are." He said, "Can we hug then?" And I said, "Yes, we can." He reached out and grabbed me and he hugged me, and I hugged him. And he said, "I love you, Granny." And I said, "Yeah, darling, Granny loves you too." He grabbed my hand and we walked down the stairs and we hugged his mom and his dad. And he said, "Well, it's time to go." And he said, "Can I stay and spend the night with Granny?"
Amen.
What's he telling you? Yeah. Thank you, didn't hurt
you. No.
Because he knew that I loved him.
Yes.
I kept my word. I was giving him a foundation in which he could build a truth. Because that's what the word of God is. The word of God is truth. It isn't fabrications. It isn't a stretch of the truth. It's merely doing what you say that you're going to do to teach them that your word is the only thing that you've really got. Mm-hmm.
That's right.
People's word don't mean anything today. Mm-hmm. If somebody promises you something, you better have it in black and white and have a lawyer mm-hmm. there and have it signed.
Yep.
And then there is no guarantee that they'll carry out. People's word don't mean anything. Don't try to teach a kid truth if you don't live truth. Don't try to teach them love if you don't love. Love is an unconditional thing. I don't love you because you perform for me or because you do what I want you to do. Or whether you don't do what I want you to do. I love you because of you, and if I love for any other reason, it is not for other side. That's why street love is different. The street love says, "I'll satisfy you if you do nothing. I'll perform for you if you perform for me. You got something I want, I've got something you want. And we're afraid." That is not the love of God. Love of God is unconditional.
Yes.
I don't like you because you're skinny or because you're fat. I don't like you because you're tall or because you're short. I don't love you because your eyes are blue, because they're bright, or they're green. I love you simply because you don't have to do anything for me to love you. Participating in hard things to love you, no. Rascals say it's hard for me to grow because you just keep cutting me down. I'm not going to grow anymore because you walk all over me. Oh, it just shoots them little blades right back up and grows faster than ever. Put them little pointy things up to the Lord like it's praising.
Amen.
"Oh, but Lord, you put me through this mess. I just can't love you anymore." That's conditional. God, I love you. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. God, I love you when it's going good. I love you when all hell breaks loose around me. I love you, God, when everything is going my way. And I love you when nothing is going my way. God, I'm not selling out because of feeling. I love you. I love you, Lord. And I'm going to check out the bags before I sell out. Are you one of those impetuous people? Do you have to have everything right now? Do you not worry about tomorrow, nor the price that you're going to pay, nor the price that your loved ones are going to pay for what you do? I didn't check out the values. Whenever God called me at 13 and God began to speak to me about being a woman preacher, I didn't check out the values. All I could say and all I could know was that all my life people had said that God cannot call women to preach. Maybe some of you don't believe in women preachers, but I've got news for you. The first people that ever preached the message after the resurrection were two women that not only the angel said, but God commissioned them also. Jesus said, yes. Go! Go! He confirmed the call of women with the angel.
Amen.
And because people told me that God couldn't call women to preach, and they quoted their favorite saying, you know, by Paul, if a woman learn anything, let her keep silent at home. In church, and let her learn from her husband. If I hadn't have said that, I'd have known God wasn't talking to me, because I didn't have a husband then, I ain't got one now. And he was talking to the married wife. But I didn't check out the values. I want to tell you something. For many years, Sister Stewart, not only did I suffer, but my family suffered because of my choice, because I didn't check out the value. I want to tell you something, folks. You don't just hurt yourself when you sell out. You hurt all of your life. Maybe that's what some of you want. Maybe you feel like you must get even. The only thing you're going to do is wind up hurting yourself. Maybe you're destroying yourself and losing out with God completely. Check out the back. Before you sign. Oh, it's just maybe I've been living in a controlled environment. And I don't know what I'm going to do whenever I get out there. You better check out the values. You better know what it's going to cost you. Better realize that you may never, ever get back to where you were. Heads bowed and eyes closed. The spirit of the Lord moves over this building. God deals with our hearts and with our lives. God's ever confirmed to me that this kind of message was what he wanted preached. He has confirmed it this morning. Testimony after testimony, he has confirmed it. The enemy is playing with people's heads, playing with their lives, playing with their emotions. God is warning you this morning just to say, God, I commit. I commit my life to you completely and totally. I commit my body to you. I commit my mind to you. I commit my spirit to you, Lord. I make that commitment this morning that says, I'm not selling out cheaply to a father's price. Lord, I'm going to check out the values before I think about selling out. All heads are bowed and eyes are closed, and I know for the biggest part, most of you in here, if not all, are Christians, so to speak. And I wonder if you're here this morning and by the uplifting of your hands, and I know it's not going to be easy. Without any music or anything else, I wonder if you're here this morning, you'll simply say, Sister Betty, I know that where you're coming from this morning, and God has been dealing with me in some areas of my life that you have spoken on, and some areas probably that I haven't spoken on. Sister Betty, I really want to check out the values before I sell out to the things of this world. now, heads are bowed and eyes are closed. And unless you choose to come to this front, and unless you choose to make an altar, I will not make a spectacle of you. But if you're here this morning and you say, Sister Betty, God is dealing with me, and I really, this morning, in my heart and my life, I want to check out the value before I sell out for the things of this world. All the Spirit of God is in me. The next moment or two in this building, thank you for that hand, right back there, for this one, for that one back there. Are there others? For this one here?